WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Dell Small Business.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. This about sums it up for Californians.
It's crazy. There's the rain coming down. It gets really cold out.
Danny Duncan lives in Ventura. A new round of atmospheric rivers has washed out portions of highways, led to car rescues, and raised the risk of landslides. Correspondent Jared Hill.
Overnight, streets turned to streams in the northern part of the state. Flooding caused the Santa Barbara Airport on California's central coast to totally shut down. Rescue teams responded to one area after a CBS News crew spotted a body in the water.
The LA area has gotten as much rainfall as it normally sees all year. Days ahead of the South Carolina primary, Nikki Haley's taking direct aim at Donald Trump over the war in Ukraine and the death of opposition leader Alexei Navalny.
I don't know why he keeps getting weak in the knees when it comes to Russia. But I'll tell you what, Russia's not getting weak in the knees.
The Kremlin calls claims by Navalny's widow that Vladimir Putin is hiding her husband's body unfounded and vulgar. Investigators say they won't release Navalny's remains for at least 2 weeks. A new disappointment for an American journalist being held in Russia. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Reporter Evan Gershkovich has had his detention extended until March 30th, according to a Russian court. He's being held on spying charges. They carry a sentence of up to 20 years in prison. He's denied the charges.
A two-day hearing's just begun at court in London on Julian Assange's final appeal against extradition to the U.S. But the WikiLeaks founder isn't there. His lawyer says Assange is unwell and won't attend. One major credit card company says it'll buy another for $35 billion.
Illinois-based Discover joining Virginia-based Capital One would bring together two of the nation's biggest lenders and credit card issuers. With its purchase of Discover, Capital One is betting that Americans will continue to increasingly use their credit cards and keep balances on those accounts to collect interest. The two lenders have had to boost their reserves against the possibility of rising borrower defaults, and that has weighed on their profits. It's unclear whether the deal will pass regulatory scrutiny. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
The Supreme Court hears oral arguments today on how much banks can charge stores when customers pay with plastic. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum says there could be wider implications.
The case about the Federal Reserve's rule on fees for swiping debit cards might ultimately make it easier for businesses to challenge federal regulations now and in the future.
Measles cases have taken off around the world. The World Health Organization reports a 79% increase in the last year. This is CBS News.
This year, Dell Technologies wants to help you do amazing things with their best tech, like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors. Amazing prices await at Dell.com/deal.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiegehau. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has new legislative district maps that undo Republican gerrymanders going back more than a decade. Governor Evers signed the new boundaries into law on Monday. He says the results will be a legislature that reflects the will of the voters.
Wisconsin is not a red state. It is not a blue state. Wisconsin is a purple state, and I believe our map should reflect that basic fact.
Evers plans to ask the state Supreme Court to make the maps effective right away instead of waiting until the fall campaigns. Owners of electric and hybrid cars in Wisconsin are getting new license plate stickers. The stickers are required by law to help first responders know what to expect in emergency situations. The stickers should arrive in the mail by June. I'm Nate Wiegehau, Civic Media News.
The Badgers fall in the rankings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After losing on the road to Iowa, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team has dropped out of the top 25 listing. Wisconsin has lost 5 of their last 6 games. They host Maryland at the Kohl Center. Marquette falls to the number 7th ranked team in the nation after losing by 28 to the number 1 ranked UConn Huskies. The Golden Eagles host DePaul tomorrow night. Baseball, reaction to the Brewers signing pitcher Brandon Woodruff to a new 2-year deal while he recovers this year from surgery to repair his shoulder, Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich.
he's a great teammate. Everybody loves having Woody around, and it's just going to be big to have him around this year, you know, whatever capacity, whether, you know, he pitches or not, who knows. But just to have him around and then hopefully have him again next year ready to go will be huge for us. And love playing with him. You know, there's nobody else I'd rather have the ball on the mound than Woody. You know, he's proved it over and over again in big games, and great competitor, great teammate, so it's really nice to have him back.
That's the Brewers, Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Sunny and a little warmer today. We'll get to 46 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A little more fog possible overnight tonight. Our low 27 tomorrow. A little patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny 47 on Thursday. Sunshine with a high of 46. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And good morning, the pioneers for Pittsburgh throughout Wisconsin. Tuesday morning, I'm Chad Holmes, sitting in for Pat Breitlow here on Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up in the next couple of hours, in about, 15 minutes or so, we will be joined by Nancy Stenzel, former candidate for state office here from Central Wisconsin, but now very active in terms of working within the 7th Congressional District in terms of trying to round up the vote for Democratic candidates and try to close the gap and try to turn that seat from Tom Tiffany to a Democrat sometime in the near future. We'll talk the political landscape in the 7th Congressional District. Plus, Nancy Stenzel is somebody who is very involved in keeping an eye on mining issues. And it is something you have to keep an eye on because, as we've talked to Nancy on my program over the last couple of years, if you turn your head for a moment, these mining companies are looking to take advantage. So we'll talk about where we stand with that as well, with Nancy Stenzel coming up at about 6:20 this morning. And then in the second hour of the program at 7:35, we'll be joined by one of the candidates on the Democratic side for the 7th Congressional District. There are two candidates that are currently going to be on the ballot for the primary in the late summer and then heading into the fall. And Kyle Kilborn is one of the candidates, along with Elsa Duranzo. And we'll be talking to Kyle Kilborn about his campaign, about some of the issues right now that are being talked about in the United States Congress, and his philosophy, what he thinks in terms of what is happening in Washington and what he would like to be in terms of the kind of U.S. congressman should he be elected. So Kyle Kilborn will be joining us at 7:35 this morning here on Up North News Radio on Civic Media. I'd like to say good morning to our producer down in southeast Wisconsin, down in Waukesha, Greg Bach. Greg, good to see you again.
Good morning, Chad. How are you?
Doing good. It is an election day.
And, it is.
people may not realize it, but it is the spring primary election. And in fact, I was looking earlier, just because I don't live in Wausau proper. I live just outside Wausau in Weston.
Yeah.
And of course, here in Wausau today, we have a mayoral primary, which has three on the ballot. We will, it's almost like a game show. You're gonna eliminate one here today, and then we will have two on the ballot for the first Tuesday on April the 2nd for the spring election. But I was looking at my, I went to My Vote Wisconsin because they show you the ballots.
Oh, it's the best.
You see, yeah, show you the ballots. And so I put in my address and said, oh, what's going to be on the ballot here for me today? There's nothing on the ballot for me today.
You don't have to go to school today.
But I'm thinking in terms of my voting record, Do I still go in and do I still sign in and say, hey, I was here, I was available, I was available to vote if there was something to vote on? Or just, you know, say, do they have workers? I have no idea, but they have nothing on the ballot. What about you? Do you have any idea in terms of where you live, how much is on the ballot?
It's two important races. So I was telling you before, and actually I was misinformed. I thought it was the fact we have primary day. We have a primary for a circuit court judge for Branch 3, and that's between Heather Iverson, William Michael, and Frank Gagliardi. And Gagliardi is the incumbent. And then an eight-way primary for the mayor of Kenosha.
Those must it's almost like a presidential primary race when you start it off.
Yeah,
have those incredibly large debate stages.
And I can tell you right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 8, I've seen yard signs. The rest of them don't have yard signs. So
it was actually interesting as well here in Wausau. I mentioned we have the mayoral primary.
Yeah.
There were supposed to be two other primaries, one for the city council and one for the Marathon County Board. But on the Marathon County Board side, and that makes me think there must be a mistake, because on the Marathon County Board side, which I would be, but then again, no, actually not, because these seats are carved up. So maybe, again, there would be nothing on my ballot. But there were supposed to be three on each of those ballots. Well, there are going to be three on each of those ballots, with two advancing to the spring election.
Yeah.
But in both those races, one of the candidates has announced, well, I've decided to pull out. So they're still on the ballot. Those are the only two that had, were between the Wausau City Council and the Marathon County Board that would have primaries. And in both races, ultimately, one of the candidates decided that we're going to pull a Ron DeSantis here right before New Hampshire and not be involved, because things aren't looking quite as good as they should.
Yeah. And folks, if you're listening to this right now, you know you can go to myvote.wi.gov. You can find out all your information. You can find out what's on your ballot. And also, we were talking about this yesterday on Matt and Air on Air. Go make sure you're actually registered, because sometimes things happen, you know, nefarious or not, names are off the voter rolls. And if you're not registered, that's no problem. You could register same day in Wisconsin. Just know you got to take with you an ID and you got to have a proof of residence, and just be prepared to maybe stand in line for a little bit, and so you could register yourself to vote.
Absolutely. And one other thing I wanted to kind of touch on here with you, because I wanted to get your thoughts as well. In terms of having the election dates set the way that they are.
Yeah.
We've seen, you know, I thought a couple of years ago, it felt like we were having elections all the time, 2022. And then we finally, after the state Supreme Court race last spring, we had a bit of a break. And now we're going into 2024. And of course, it's going to be quite an amazing year in terms of very important races as well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we want to make sure that everybody gets out and votes, and and we have as high a percentage as possible. As a society, as a system here, whether it's in Wisconsin or the United States of America, when we have an election like today, where maybe in my case, there's nothing on that ballot, could we not be doing this a little bit better? Could we not be putting these elections in the fall, having a primary election in the fall, then the general election in the fall? I even look at last year. And of course, because of the importance of that state Supreme Court race, we did get, I think, better voter turnout than we normally do. But these off year elections, it can be a very big struggle to get a high percentage of folks to the polls. Mm-hmm. Can we be doing this better? Can we be maybe consolidating some of these election days and giving the best opportunity for all these races to be able to have a high voter turnout?
Well, I think I don't know about consolidating. That would be, I don't know. The difficulty of that might be a little overwhelming, but I think one of the things we can really look at, which you see the opening of the election process as far as, early voting, non-absentee in-person voting. You can go to your city hall or town hall, village hall, you can vote. But I think we need to make it like a 2-week process where it's just open voting for 2 weeks. And then if not, Election Day is a national holiday where you get the day off, you can go vote. There's encouragement. There's more information out there because, you know, we had a 66% turnout in, I think it was 2022, and that was high.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I don't know about consolidating all in like one day or like 2 days a year, but I think if we're going to have like on a year like this every 4 years, all right, we're going to have our primary, we're going to have 4 days off or maybe 2 days off for the general elections, but just more encouragement and more information and more access.
And I want to make sure that you understand and everybody understands what I'm saying. I'm not saying consolidate Election Day. I'm talking about consolidating the races.
Yeah.
Where we don't have a state Supreme Court race and an off-year election. And I think that's a little different because obviously with the number of seats, you have to go year by year by year. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes when you have a race that's a spring election, you're not going to get as many people voting for it. And for whatever reason, when you have a gubernatorial race or a United States Senate race or a presidential race, you just get more people that are going to the polls.
Yeah.
And some of the other, I would call off-year elections, have much lower turnout.
I see what you're saying.
And then a much smaller amount of people determine maybe who serves as a mayor in a community or on a city council. It just feels as though sometimes during these years, we have so many times where it's like, oh, we just did vote. We're going to go again. And also, I think in terms of the cost process and putting together an election, sometimes we don't do it, I think, as well as we should.
Yeah.
And again, we want to put a situation where you try to get 90% people coming out and voting. And I think sometimes when you have all these multiple elections that occur all the time, that makes it a little bit more difficult.
Well, I think, especially, I mean, we spoke about this yesterday too, is like, you know, circuit court judges and city council and county supervisor, those aren't the sexy elections. We're not, people are like, oh, there was an election yesterday? Who? The people who are making the direct decision, spending your money on your community, those are the elections that school board, city council, county supervisor, mayoral, those happen generally in spring, and a lot of times people miss out. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there can be, I'm all for any processes that will help streamline the voting process, make it easier, more accessible, and, you know, yeah, bring me the ideas. I will talk to the powers that be, and I will get this done, Chad Holmes.
And real quickly, I just got to throw this out at the end of this discussion. When you are a political movement where one of the main tenets of your movement is to sow doubt in elections, maybe you should look in the mirror. I mean, when you have a mega movement that one of the main tenets is to sow doubt in our election system, I mean, unbelievable, again, that we are in the year 2024 and we're dealing with that kind of thought process. I guess just to kind of put a bow on this primary Election Day discussion.
Yeah. I mean, any sort of, sowing doubt, suppressing votes, voter disenfranchisements, you can't be the party of freedom when you're telling people they can't vote.
Exactly. When you're, one of the goals of your movement is to try to make sure that percentage does not go up in terms of people going to the polls, but to make it harder and make that percentage go down.
Exactly.
There is something wrong, and you cannot wear your little American lapel pin, talk about how much you love America, when one of the basic tenets of this system is to have everybody's voice be heard. And when you're trying to make it more difficult, I just shake my head. On that happy note, we're going to come back and talk to somebody that definitely knows how to try to get people involved in the process, Nancy Stensel. She'll be joining us here coming up in a moment here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Almaz Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
And welcome back, Up North Move Radio, here on the Public Media Radio Network, Daily Day. We're going to talk a little bit later on in our daily history lesson. Steely Dan and one of their founding members. Anniversary of a birthday here today. But talking about more serious issues, as we're very happy to welcome back to the program. I know she's been on with Pat many times, and I've talked to her myself on my program on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. But very happy to welcome back Nancy Stensel. Nancy, first of all, good morning, and thanks for getting up early for me.
Well, good morning. Hey, I love the mention of Steely Dan. I've seen them. I had seen them years ago in concert. That's how old I am. So
yeah. We're all there. I tell you, we're all there. Before we, the first question I want to ask you, Nancy, is that you're working in terms of trying to grassroots build support within the 7th Congressional District to try to turn what's been a rather red district more purple, and then of course try to turn it blue as well. When you look at the people of this district, what is the maybe the biggest misconception that is out there? Because I think there is this sense that as you get into the North Woods and into some of the rural areas, that they're all in love with Tom Tiffany and they're all in love with the right wing. But I don't think that is truly the case. What have you learned in talking to people and talking to candidates and in terms of the road that needs to be built in order to make inroads with a lot of these voters that perhaps the philosophy that you're trying to push forward is actually more closely aligned than maybe people would think?
It really is. I chair the 7th Congressional District, which, I mean, that is one heck of a large district. And I'm amazed at the grassroots groups of the North. Sometimes they're small, but they are absolutely mighty. We have a fabulous candidate in the 7th, who I guess you're going to have up later this morning, Kyle. Yep. And we're making inroads. The people up there, that's a total fallacy that they're totally red. There's so many vacation homes up there. I think there's, if anything, that people should be worried about is there's not enough voting power up there where these people aren't there to vote and things like that. But there's a lot more blue out there, or, you know, more liberal people than what you think.
When you talk about now, and I'm a headline news yesterday, the governor did sign the new maps. I wanted to ask you your thoughts. How much of a game changer is that? Because you're somebody that has run for the state legislature. So obviously that's a big factor in it. And that's, I think, of anything that showed the incredible crime that, frankly, the maps were in a state where it's basically been very close to 50-50 in elections for not just the last couple of cycles, but for more than a decade now. And to see a 2/3 majority, to have incredibly close to veto proof majorities in a state that's 50-50 shows, again, it was a crime that these maps. How much of a difference do you think it's going to make? Because I think there's a bit of a wide range of thinking on it. Some people think it's going to, you know, make it closer to 50-50. Others still say that because of the makeup of the population areas, it's not going to be maybe at that level. In terms of what do you think the difference is going to be with the new maps?
I think it's going to be we will see. I believe it's definitely going to have a difference in many districts. I know myself when I ran, and what I've seen in the 7th, it was like no matter how hard somebody tries, it was never more than 60-40. We saw it in my races in the 86th. I have a friend that ran down in Sheboygan. She ran twice as well. Absolutely great candidate. But no matter what she did, she didn't stand a chance either. And in the 7th Congressional District, we've had so-so candidates. I mean, they've all been good, but so-so. And then we've had like some magnificent candidates, like the last one we had, or the time we had Trisha Zunker. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, a powerful fundraiser, a very eloquent speaker. And no matter what she did, 60-40. So, you know, we were just kind of yay and just all excited yesterday. And I actually get to sit down with some Fair Maps people today, and we'll be discussing and taking a look at all the workings. I, you know, glanced at some last night, and there's some districts that are a little bit more concentrated now, which I think will definitely help.
As you look at Kyle Kilborn, that's because, as you said, we will be talking to him coming up in the next hour of the program. You said you're excited about a candidate like Kyle. What makes you excited about a candidate like Kyle? And it is, as you said, it is such a difficult task with such a large area to try to run for office for the first time and to let the voters know who you are. Give them maybe a thumbnail sketch for those folks listening right now that are in the 7th that may not know Kyle as well. And hopefully by the end of today, they'll know him a lot better. In terms of
You're going to know him a lot better.
What makes you excited about his run in for this race?
I am. He is young. He's energetic. The minute you talk with him, I think he's a real people magnet, I guess we'll call him, because the minute you talk to him, you can actually have a conversation with him. The person we have that's in there right now, you know, I read his crap telegram every week just to keep up with what he's doing, but he never gives you a solid answer on anything. Even to say, this is what I think, he immediately, like so many of them do, put a spin on it. Oh, it's that border. We got to watch that border. And I've clearly watched so many people just be taken totally off topic, and he drags them down some other road. Or is Biden, Biden, Biden. Hello, I came here to ask you about this. You know, how come you're not answering me?
It does feel like some of the even special elections and other elections over the last year or two, there is, I think, and maybe it, and I almost hate to say it because I hate when people talk about vibes and feelings and all that, but it does look like in actual numbers that we have seen Democratic candidates overperforming. And we hear these narratives all the time. It feels like there's maybe a little bit of mega fatigue out there. Do you have any sense of that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do. I always remember, and I'm name drop here, Donna Seidel, when she was in the 85th, when things started going the other way, her husband had told me, he said, just hang on. He said, it will change. He said, sadly, he said, it's the pendulum can never swing within that middle range. It seems like it always has to go to one extreme. And then people realize, oh my goodness, this really is not what I want. And it swings back. And I often think of Andy because he is so totally right.
Absolutely. We are talking.
That's what we're seeing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do. I think we do see that some of the actual results, and there's so much analysis of what goes on, but we have seen some results that I'm going to be very curious to see as we continue into 2024, whether or not there is a change. And I also think that what you say in terms of, you know, always 60-40, that if you have fair maps, and all of a sudden you have a fighter's chance, if there's a little bit of a change, if it's a 20-point district, even if you gain 10 points, it's still a landslide. So we're going to talk more with Nancy Stensel coming up here on Up North News Radio.
Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tea?
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Matt Nair on air. Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matinee on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Well, here we sit on the 20th of February with little to no snow across the state of Wisconsin. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. I know it's something farmers are already talking about. Is this a precursor to a drought year for the growing season 2024? You know, those water levels matter not only in our soils, but also in our rivers. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says, right now, as far as barge traffic is concerned, our water levels are okay.
Well, right now, river levels, for the most part, are fairly good shape. And you know, obviously, we'll see things. We'll need to really kind of focus on the weather as we go forward. But, you know, you go look at, you know, where Memphis is, which is a major focus point, currently running fairly well above its necessary, you know, depth levels. That was the big focus over here in the fall. Right now, though, the Mississippi River seems to be okay, at least in the southern part where we're moving things up and down the river to get things to the ports at this time frame, as well as things coming back up north, you know, getting ready for the spring planting window.
That's John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. I guess the good news is there is rain in the forecast beginning front part of next week. Markets and overnight electronic trade getting back to business after a three-day weekend. Right now, the good news is corn and soybeans trading higher. Numbers are next. Fabulous Farm Babe, glad to be joined in studio today by Doug Munson. He is the gentleman that is working in conjunction with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board to make things happen here in the state of Wisconsin. What starts in Wisconsin can have a ripple effect across the United States.
That's what we always hope for, is what are those ripple effects? You know, for every dollar that's invested, it's a return of $12.34. You know, how those investments really bring value, they can be debated or they can be looked at in many different ways. Biodiesel brings, I think we say over a dollar now, you know, years ago before inflation, we'll say, it was 63 cents to a bushel of soybeans that brought that value. Whether it's 63 cents or it's $1.34, which we've heard as high as that amount, that's a huge amount of value to your bushel of soybeans. So those are the things that are ripple effects, right, that can start in Wisconsin or sometimes at the national level, but have big impact in the world of soybean.
Doug Munson, in studio with me on behalf of the Wisconsin Soybean Association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, the financial driving force behind our research that's done here in the state of Wisconsin. For more, pop on over to cornsoyexpo.org. All right, in overnight electronic trade, as we start off a Tuesday morning, right now we've got December new crop corn up a penny at 460, November new crop beans up a nickel right now at 1154. Wheat is still a little softer, July contracts down 2.5 right now, 559 a bushel. The March class 3 milk currently a penny higher, 1685. The April milk unchanged at 1709 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand, rolling into the trade session after the three-day weekend. For more farm news anytime you need it, go to MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Sunny and a little warmer today. We'll get to 46 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A little more fog possible overnight tonight. Our low 27 tomorrow. A little patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny 47 on Thursday. Sunshine with a high of 46. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
And welcome back to the Upward Blues Radio on a Tuesday morning. I'm Chad Holmes, sitting in for Pat Kreitel. Pat is off this week. I had a chance to sit in yesterday and today, and tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, it will be Todd Alba sitting in. Boy, he is working hard this week. He'll be sitting in for these 2 hours, and of course, he is doing an extra hour in the afternoon this week, so he's on from noon until 3. Right now, talking to Nancy Stensel. Nancy, one area I wanted to discuss with you, because you're so active in terms of environment and mining and trying to make sure that this beautiful state of Wisconsin is beautiful for the generations to come. And actually, I was driving over the weekend, and I was thinking about these shows, and I think about these shows way too often. I'm always thinking about the things I want to talk about on the radio. And one of the things that came to mind in terms of thinking about environmental mindsets, and it really, I think sometimes we overcomplicate things. I think there are people that care strictly about the time that they're on this earth and maximizing their own profits and maximizing their own joys and maximizing their own bank accounts. And then there are those that actually think about making sure that when we're gone, I mean, we're here for a very limited amount of time. And to make sure that what we do here does not kill the environment, does not cause damage for those that do come after us. And I think that I was thinking about that while I was driving around in north central Wisconsin over the weekend. It sometimes is as simple as that, isn't it?
It is. You know, think seven generations, I always tell people, but, you know, look at, we'll talk mining, you know, forestry. Governor Evers had actually, you know, we now have the Knowles Nelson fund went for the Pelican Forest. That finally got settled just to save these lands. And it's not just about you. What about your, you know, if you have grandchildren, you know, don't you want them to have drinkable water? We look at, see, like with the Coalition for the Menominee River, you know, they want to try to put a mine right next to it, you know, like 100 yards from the river itself. Or more recently, now what we're really looking at is the Porcupine Mountains, you know, Porcupine State Park. And you're going to put a mine, you're going to bookend the park in mines, a mine on each side. What are you thinking?
And the game playing that's constantly done when it comes to anybody in state government that tries to do something, there's this idea that, and there's these moneyed interests, and you do see it right now whenever they play these games with the governor's appointees, and especially when it comes to these kind of issues. The moneyed interests are always behind trying to take as much power away from the governmental boards that are trying to protect the environment. And again, it's not a coincidence that this happens where very qualified people are told, hey, you can't do this because, my goodness, you have a record of actually trying to protect the environment and trying to stop those that have the money and have the power from getting more money and more power, with the penalty being of taking away some of these pristine areas of our state. And that's part of the constant battle, isn't it? I mean, you and your allies have this constant fight. And you were talking between segments about you almost get nervous when things are a little bit too quiet, because you know they're always looking for that weakness, aren't they?
They truly are. And especially like right now, where they're using, you know, green energy as a selling point. And that was something even here in Marathon County when they came in and they wanted to do exploratory drilling, you know, for gold. We have enough gold. We don't need any more. Where, you know, solar panels and everything are truly very, very important. Don't get me wrong on that either. But we're not going to mine our way out of this. I think many times people need to realize we need to change our ways, the way we do things. We're a very wasteful society.
And unfortunately, I mean, we tout, and actually I've seen it very recently, some touting that that even when it comes to energy exploration, which has its major issues as well, but we hear this being touted by the administration. Hey, we are plowing more oil than we've ever done before. And you're exactly right that we still are sucked in, I think, to the same energy sources. And it, I think you go along the same lines with the mining interests, that we have the same mindset now in a lot of ways that we've done for decades. While we need to broaden the minds and think in different ways, but it seems to be so difficult because, again, they have those who are the moneyed interests that it's in their best interest to continue along the same roads we've gone for the last number of decades.
And these mining companies that come in too are, the majority of them are Canadian. They're not even, you know, based here. I know when we fought it here in Marathon County, they would say Green Light Wisconsin. You know, it's you're doing business out of a shack in Medford somewhere, but you are a Canadian company and you're coming here to rape our land. I don't think so.
And in terms of the battles, because again, I just, you know, I just think of how difficult it has to be, because number one, it's about more you and your allies, more about energy than money. But at the same time, when you're facing those with unlimited funding, those that are able to basically wait you out in a lot of ways, where does that passion come from? Because every time I've talked to you, you've had that passion where you work hard. I see the smile because I know that it comes from within the core. But man, I mean, it is difficult when you're facing unlimited pockets and where what you have on your side is passion and what is right. What is it that makes you fight as hard as you do each and every day and within the groups that you're part of and the people that you work with?
It's, you know, there's so much camaraderie in the groups that I work with. And I, no matter what it is, if it's the politics, the environment, it's all linked together, but it's, the will of the people, really. This is what the people want to see. They have this passion for this. And in the case of mining or logging or anything like that, it's that grassroots show that you have no social license to be here. And if you can get that in your community, for your community to stand up and say, no, not here, it weighs hugely. And we've had so much success with that. At the same time, what kind of makes it equally bad is you also have groups of people. I work somewhat with a homeless population I volunteer with too. And it's the not in my backyard, which is also a type of a social license. But I would hope whenever people do it, learn as much as you can about it. And if you can learn about it, that's what's going to be your guiding star.
Let me kind of go back and bring in the poly. You mentioned the connection between the politics and the environment and the people and the will of the people. As somebody that has been working within the system, because everything that you do, you're trying to get the support of those that have the votes down in Madison. And over the last number of years, there is a disconnect. When you look at these issues, a lot of these issues where there is evidence that the people think in a certain way, but yet it is very difficult at times to get the votes, the politics of it all. When you look at, I'm going to kind of make this a bigger question because sometimes I like to expand it in terms of thinking about in terms of how to make things better. But when you look at the politics of state government right now, when it comes to issues like this, what's your take? Because there does seem to be at times, at least from my perspective, and I think you would probably have a better perspective being so much closer to it, that there is a disconnect at times for those that we actually vote in to represent us and what they actually do in office when it comes to some of these very important and maybe, you know, in terms of in their minds, tough because they're dealing again with some of these moneyed interests. But when you look at the politics of it all, can you maybe put it together? Are we in a spot that's getting better, or is it getting more difficult for the actual voice of the people to get their representatives to do the right thing?
Well, I think that takes us back to fair maps, because if you can get people in office that are going to listen to you right now, from the gerrymandered maps, where the people that have gotten into office, I've gone to many advocacy days on many different topics, and they don't have to listen to you. They don't have to be accountable to you, because it doesn't matter. They're going to get voted in anyway. I have gone to said candidate's office that likes to sue newspapers and been told he's not in today. So, you know, you leave your packet of information, you hope he'll get back to you, and you walk down the hall, and you'll never guess who's walking down the hall.
You see the big cowboy hat, huh?
Yeah. That other representatives make fun of me. I've had representatives that I sit on the board of the Wisconsin Breast Cancer Coalition. Candidates who have gone through breast cancer, not once but twice, and will vote against a bill that up front, instead of just mammography, some women with dense breast tissue need ultrasound, which, you know, in itself, maybe it's a bit more of a cost, but that cost up front could save a whole lot of money and a whole lot of lives down the road. And a candidate who has suffered breast cancer has voted against it.
Number one, anybody left, right, or center who hears that somebody that is taking their time, going to Madison, prepared with packets, and having elected representatives laugh at you should be outrageous to anybody. I will say that, number one. And number two, the idea of representing only a portion of your constituents. And I guess it's not surprising, because I'm sure that you are like me, who saw the state senator that you're speaking of during his campaign say he was going to be representing the people that think like he does. So I guess in a sense, it's not surprising, is it? It's sad, but not surprising.
Not at all. And these are extremists. It's, you know, I don't.
Real fact, you say that extremists, the new maps hopefully will change that, because that's one of the, again, the results of unfair maps. It makes our state legislature much more extreme, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, we could take any given topic and, you know, maybe you and I are not going to totally agree on something, but we're actually going to be able to sit down and have a conversation, and you can tell me this is why I don't support this. I can tell you this is why I do. And maybe we can come to some kind of consensus, you know, some kind of agreement there on something, instead of just saying, you know, my way or the highway.
I guess to kind of wrap up our discussion, where do you think we are right now? Are you optimistic about 2024? Are you optimistic that we're going to see opportunities for some of the most important issues that you see to get some accomplishments? Do you have a sense that we're going to see more fair representation within the state of Wisconsin? Are you optimistic at this point, or what's your mindset going into this?
Yeah,
very important year.
I'm very optimistic. I'm very happy with the fair maps. But even before that, I'm seeing more of a swell of people that are waking up. And that's the most important thing. And I know you guys had talked about it earlier in your program, but, you know, get out and vote. Make sure you're registered, because, you know, even if you do absentee, each year you have to kind of like renew that. So make sure you do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get to know your polling places. We get so many people that will come into a polling place and say, you know, say like a mayoral race, and they'll say, which one's the Democrat and which one's the Republican? And you're trying to explain, is this a nonpartisan race?
Nancy Stencil, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to come right back here on Up North News.
This is 93.5 The Tap. When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
We're beautiful like diamonds in the sky.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
We're beautiful like diamonds in the sky.
Shine bright like a diamond.
And we are back here on Eau Claire News Radio. Like birthday girl. Greg Bach is giving us a little Rihanna. I'm gonna show how uncool I can be at times. That is Rihanna, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know Beyonce. I don't know either. I gotta say that I spend most of my time listening to the 80s music.
Yeah.
But today is February the 20th of 2024, as I mentioned earlier. We heard some Steely Dan, and the reason is that Walter Becker, one of the founding members of Steely Dan, was born on this date in 1950. He passed away in 2017. He was a bassist, guitarist, songwriter, record producer. Again, just Steely Dan, an incredible career. In fact, the name Steely Dan is still out there because you can sell more tickets that way.
And
you can. I mean, it's one of those things. But again, sometimes I'm a purist when it comes to bands. But you have major changes where you still have the name out there, and they'll be touring, but there'll be nobody that was a member of the original band. I mean, it sometimes goes that way.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the Eagle when Glenn Frey died. I was like, well, the Eagles are done. They're finished. That's and then they went on tour. I said, what?
And actually, that's one of the great things that I respect about Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
That when John Bonham died, it was over.
Yeah.
And they've had incredible offers for millions and millions and millions of dollars to come out and do just, one tour and you can go out there. And yet Robert Plant says no.
Yeah, they did those like two or three gigs years ago just for whatever, and then he said, we'll do a full tour. Could you imagine how much like stadiums and arenas would offer Led Zeppelin to reunite? And Robert Plant's like, no, I'm gonna do my little country thing with Alison Krauss. I'm good with that.
Also, today is the anniversary of the birth of Kurt Cobain.
He was
born in 1967. Died in 1994. In fact, I was going to school in Eau Claire at UWEC in 1994, and I was working on the campus radio station. That's where I got my start. And I went in on that spring afternoon. And back then, unlike today, back then they had an old-fashioned news ticker where it actually printed it out when news came out. Exactly. I mean, you heard the printing, and then when there was a special report, it would make the noise. And I went over there and I pulled it off and I read it. And it's like, oh, and then I went to the studio and handed it to the person on the air because our station played alternative music for the campus. It's something I always remember, pulling off that wire off that, ripping the paper off the ticker. And Kurt Cobain, and in the end, you look at Nirvana, in the end, it was a very short star that went through the galaxy.
Right?
Yep. I mean, you see some of these bands that last five decades and then some that are done after just a couple of albums or about half a dozen years. And yet people still know Nirvana to this day and Kurt Cobain. It's hard to believe when you think about it. 30 years, 1994. Where is the time gone?
I mean, it's... Yeah, I remember my sister went to St. Norbert's College up in De Pere, and I was heading up, it was a Friday, I was heading up for sibling weekend where you spend the whole weekend with your sibling and you go check out the college and all that stuff, and that definitely put a damper on the entire weekend.
Yeah,
that was just very, very odd, and, you know, I heard about rock stars leaving us early before that, my parents' generation, all the bands they listened to. And I think this was the first one where I was like, well, man, all right, this sucks. I guess I'm going to go learn about St. Norbert's now. Yay.
Also, celebrity birthdays today. Got my celebrity crush when I was a kid, Cindy Crawford.
Oh my.
I always thought when I was in, if I would just run into her there, I'd have a chance. No, I would not have a chance. But Cindy Crawford turning 58 years old today. Not my celebrity crush, also celebrating a birthday today. Senator Mitch McConnell. Happy birthday, Mitch.
He's my crush.
Exactly just, right.
That's Southern cuddly.
Exactly right.
How old is he? How old is Mitch
82.
McConnell?
82 years old.
Retire!
Well, I mean, he's a spry chicken compared to a spring chicken. My metaphors are way off compared to Chuck Grassley.
he's like 104 now?
I tell you, man, that Chuck Grassley, the thing is, Chuck Grassley is getting worse and worse as he gets older. I want him to mellow out a little bit here and actually see the light a little bit. But again, that's here nor there. Some interesting historical events. I always love thinking back to some of these historical events. In 1962, and yeah, a true American hero, and a guy that was actually a very good U.S. senator from Ohio for many years, John Glenn. Mm-hmm. In 1962, while aboard Friendship 7, Glenn orbited the Earth three times in just under 5 hours, becoming the first American to orbit the Earth. That came on this date back in 1962. I remember this one, 2001, FBI agent Robert Hansen arrested and charged with spying for Russia for 15 years. And yet, Tucker Carlson still walks free.
I mean, that we talked about that. Will he be arrested? Absolutely not. No. But there has to be someone in the FBI or the CIA going, hey, can we check into this? Because this seems weird.
By the way, again, I think I said this yesterday. I think I said it last week. I'm going to keep on saying it. What was Ron Johnson told on July the 4th of 2018?
You do everything I tell you to do.
I mean, again, getting off on a tangent here. When you hear all the complaints about Donald Trump being convicted and fined all these hundreds of millions of dollars, the thing about it that kind of annoys me is that if he had not run for president, became president, he would have been able to continue breaking the law as long as he wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's wrong. And frankly, the complaints people, oh, it's because he's, well, it probably is. And I would like to, and if I had a question to the prosecutors, the question I would say is, okay, there are people like Trump that are doing the same things. Are you going to go after them as well? I'm not saying that Trump shouldn't be. I think he deserves everything he gets. But I would like to see a lot more of these guys that are getting rich by skewing the system. Instead of looking the other way.
Yeah.
Let's start to penalize these people who are truly picking the pockets of Americans from coast to coast.
Let's start with everyone responsible for 2008's financial meltdown.
Exactly.
All right.
That is the perfect way to put a period on hour one. We're back with more coming up on Civic Media.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt and Air On Air, Fantasy Brian Kelly joins us from 10:30 to 11 in hour number two, Dog Training Tips with Think Positively. Don't miss it.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air On Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.